What's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
Guys, what a weekend. What an amazing night of fights. I guess we're still in the weekend, but what an amazing night of fights. It was so amazing that we had to come back and we had to talk to you guys about it. I mean, Henry, did you see your boy? Bro, my daughter's been walking around the house all day talking about
NGQ. Doing what I do. All right.
Looking nice. My daughter's been doing that all day. Yo, Ryan Garcia goes out there and shocks everybody. Henry, I mean, did you see this, Henry? Did you see this?
I mean, it's absolutely nuts, Kamaru. I mean, if your little girl who is that's the setting,
right?
If your little girl, Kamaru, knows exactly what's going on, then this dude is doing something right. And we saw the tweet from Jorge Masvidal, like the best troll comeback of all time. I mean, Ryan Garcia, he is a problem. I mean, the fact that this fight, nobody was believing Ryan, whether he was going to show up or not. The fact that ticket sales at the Barclays Center weren't doing very well. Like, you know, quarter of the arena was filled and it was 2 weeks out. People started to worry. But as the marketing started taking place, as this man started acting weird in these interviews, as, you know, him drinking beer. And then obviously you get both of the dads involved in the And you know, they start throwing, you know, things at each other and things of that nature. You know, the crazy push from David Haney. I mean, is Ryan Garcia a bit nuts? Yeah, it's a bit nuts. But can I tell you something? He was able to use that pressure. He was able to use everything that he said. He was able to back it up. You know, I don't know the slides you're actually talking about, but he there was one thing that he did to David Haney, and even a guy like David Haney even said, I don't even know if Ryan Garcia is taking this thing serious, you know? And I think I think that's how it is. I think that's what it is, and I just find it just different, you know? But he did.
Is this a new way to market fights now? Is this what the people want? Is this what's getting people talking? Is this what's getting people going right now to market fights, to just act out of the ordinary? Is that what's selling now to the audience?
Yeah. I mean, think about it, man. I think with Ryan Garcia, I mean, he says a lot. He talks about religion. He talks about fighting. He talks about saving it for the kids. I mean, it's almost like there's a bit of cringe in there. And I also, you know what I'm saying? There's a bit of cringe, but the way that he's doing, he's just been able to captivate a lot of like the newer crowd. And I find it very interesting the way that he's doing it. And then obviously, like we talked about it with Oscar, you know, being a TikToker, being a good looking guy is marketable. And I think when you have that, you have a personality. I mean, Ryan Garcia, well, we're seeing with Ryan Garcia, we're seeing a new phase of what this new generation is more likely going to take the game. Because, you know, it's not like the old school days where, you know, you guys just push and shove. Like this dude's clowning him. Like, this dude's doing sit-downs. Like, he's saying some pretty obnoxious things, to say the least. But whatever it is, Kamaru, this dude's backing it up. And he was able to back it up this weekend.
Yeah, I think most importantly, we're not having this conversation if Ryan Garcia doesn't go out there and do what Ryan Garcia did. And that's essentially be able to pull off all the antics and all this and that and have the world wondering whether or not he's lost it mentally, whether he's loco. But go in there and put on a performance like that. It was almost, Henry, it was almost like as if there was a point where he was just like, you know what? A fight's a fight. I signed to fight. Who cares? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I welcome it. And that little, but he, of course, you have to have that little bit of fear of your opponent to be able to get you, keep you as sharp as you can. I think it was just moment for him to just, he said, once he agreed and he decided, you know what, screw it, fight to fight. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I think that served him excellent in this fight. Yeah. I don't know, Henry, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, man. And it's like that, man. I think a lot of the things why I would do what I would do, Kamaru, is for that simple fact of embracing that pressure, selling the fight and things of that nature, but also expressing who you are and being carefree. Like at this point, Ryan Garcia, and I said before, he could talk about tickling buttholes, weed, and Jesus all in the same sentence.
Pause.
But it's,
big pause,
but,
Henry.
But it's who he is, and I think in that nature, I think he has fun with it. I go back and I think of myself. I think he has fun with it. But that going in there, I mean, talking about the fight, talking about the fight in general, but how he was able to rock him in that first round before eventually, you know, going back in that seventh and eventually dropping him, going back to the 10th, dropping him again, and then he put the cherry on top on the 11th round, what he was able to do. And you know what, Kamaru, like just talking about the fight as a whole, it was that same combination, same shots, it's that left hook, and you talked about it. And you're right, man. Dude, that left hook is sneaky, man. It's almost like it comes from, but he doesn't have it up here. It comes from below the shoulder, and then he's just whacking it, and he's just throwing it. And he can hit it from afar, and he can hit it from super close. And he's got power, man. There's one thing about Ryan Garcia besides his antics. I mean, the dude truly does, for a 140-pound fighter, even at 35, when he's at 35, the dude has some crazy knockout power, man. The dude has power in them hands.
Yeah, I say let's, you know, before we, I want to jump, I, of course, I want to jump into the fight. I just want to say, let's talk about the weight cut. Like, he definitely missed weight, you know, by 3.5 pounds, and he didn't care about the $1.5 million that, allegedly the $1.5 million that he has to pay. It's, you know, I think he was just like, you know what, I'm not going to deplete myself. He knew his threshold, and he said, you know, I'm not going to deplete myself. I'm not going to do it. First and foremost, if I'm making maybe 10, 12, 10, 15 million, I don't mind giving up 1.5 million. Here, you can have that. You know, I'm not going to deplete myself because it did help in the fight. Whether they say it or not, he was the bigger man. He didn't look like his chin was holding up. You know, he did get buzzed with a couple of shots, but he was big. He was able to stay in there strong. He had his legs on him the whole fight. And man, I think, like, could that have been a blessing in disguise for him, missing that weight like that?
Oh, man. And the thing is, you hit the nail on the head, Kamaru. I mean, these are things that we have to consider as fighters, that when is it that, all right, man, I'm not going to make it. I might as well, because 3 pounds, it's not the fact that it's only 3 pounds. It's what is it that you have to do to shave off those 3 pounds. So, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Those 3 pounds of shit. I mean, a fighter can get down to getting 0.2 of an ounce off, and it's the most miserable thing. You'd rather lose 10 pounds than to shave off that last 0.4 off, because it's horrible, man. It's like there's nothing in you. Your body's trying to protect itself. So I know there's been boxers that have been known to doing that, even when Floyd fought Juan Manuel Marquez, he ended up coming over. He just stopped cutting weight. He's like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I think they're doing like a catch weight of maybe, I think, 144. And Mayweather's like, hey, you know what? Let's just stick to 147. I'm just going to not cut. I'm going to go to the weight that I always make. And it's what it is. I mean, it's a two-part thing. Kudos for Ryan Garcia, the fact that he was able to kind of cut it off and obviously get the victory. But how would he feel at 140 pounds? Remember, at 35, he was struggling. 5 extra pounds for a big kid like him, it's not that much, Kamaru. It's almost like I feel like Ryan Garcia can build in really solid 147 pounds.
I think he could, but I think he's got, you know, ways to go to even get there. I think, you know, 140 is a good weight for him. But of course, he's still growing. And I think he could eventually fill out there once he's really, really dials in on that strength and conditioning. I think he'll get there. Now, moving into the fight, man, I think had he not had that first round that he had, who knows how that fight plays out. Because I think that first round gave him the ultimate confidence that if I press this dude, I step into the fire and I press him, I can get good results. And you saw that because I think Devin Haney was shocked. Ryan Garcia, off the whistle, boom, jumped in his face and started to walk him down. And Devin Haney would look like a deer in headlights. Taking nothing away from him, he did try his best to adjust and get back into the fight. But I think right off the rip, he got in his face. He kept punching. That's the thing. He kept punching. He missed with maybe the hook. He missed the hook, but he kept punching. One, two, three, two, three, two. Like, he kept punching. And Devin Haney wasn't expecting that. And I think that's what ultimately gave Ryan the confidence to know that, hey, when I come forward, I can touch this guy and I can hurt him.
Yeah, no, of course, and that he did. I mean, obviously, Haney did it. He didn't make those adjustments though, Kamaru. Like, it's almost like he was trying to just be slick and technical. But every time he got onto that flurry, into those bras with Ryan, Ryan would just somehow you know get the better end of it. And he was hurt, man. I think it was the last knockdown. Like, it's almost like his legs kind of like come together. And it's almost like he's using his arms to come up, because that's how, like, because when somebody gets hurt or somebody gets, you know, dropped, it's almost like your legs are weak. And because your legs are weak, the only thing that you can really use is your upper body to kind of get up, because, you know, it snaps the juice off of you. And I think, I think Ryan, for all the crap that he talked, he was able to back it up, man. But moving forward, Kamaru, I mean, Ryan Garcia, I mean, will they eventually end up running this fight back?
I think they have to, because that's the only, really, to be honest, that's what makes the most logical sense right now, is run it back and Ryan actually make weight so you have a title to go out and fight with. Because whether you want to believe it or not, you could be a big star, but people are going to get tired. If there's nothing, there's no gold medal, there's no prize at the end of it. People do get tired of that, just get the gimmicks. So I would like to see him actually make the weight. When you make the weight correct, because, and also, you know, and not, the weight might have played a factor in you understanding the level of conditioning that he might have had, in maybe you understanding the level of work he might have put in, his fitness level to really shave off the extra, the fat or whatever else that he was holding on. So I would, because I did see it in the fight. There was instance to where Ryan kind of had, you know, he would take rounds off. He fought that fight very well. He would take rounds off. And then there was instance that he was doing the same thing he was doing in that last fight, where he would start to kind of go into the shoulder roll and give his back and just not really punch back. You know, some guys will capitalize on that. I think that's one thing that he has to kind of work on to correct. But I think Derek James, shout out to Derek James, man, out there in Dallas, has done a great job with him and really did a good job in trying to keep Ryan focused, because sometimes he does tend to lose focus in the fight. Try to keep him focused on the task at hand and let him go out there and be great. Ryan has showed that he can be great. You know, his hand speed is blinding fast. It was very hard. Devin Haney knew immediately that I can't punch with this guy. We can't, when we're exchanging punches, his punches are going to get to the target a lot faster than mine. So I can't punch with him. So, you know, this guy, he's got it. He's got all the ingredients to be that, not just the superstar that I do think he's on his well on his way to being. I think he's got all the ingredients to be a legendary, potential legendary fighter.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm just going to read the quote here. You know, I'm disappointed with my performance. This is Devin Haney. He caught me by surprise. We trained for it, but I got in there and I fell asleep. I mean, the dude is pretty much saying, hey, man, I prepared myself for the best, but now I'm starting to wonder if all the trolling, all the drama that Ryan Garcia got into, that maybe, not necessarily he was an emotion, but reading what he just said too, as like, I fell asleep. In other words, you know what that says, Kamaru, is he just wasn't there. And I think because Ryan was able to put that pressure on himself, but actually have fun and actually deliver, it was just different. And I think moving forward, I mean, for Ryan Garcia, like, what's next? What's next for the, you know, look, you got Sean O'Malley over here, too. I'd fight Sean O'Malley UFC. That's it. But Dana, you'll have to cut me that real check. And that ain't happening. You know, Uncle Dana's a businessman. Or maybe, I don't know, Kamaru. I mean, could we potentially be seeing the fight between Ryan Garcia and Sean O'Malley. I was just, you know, right before I retired from the UFC, I remember me and Ryan texting back and forth. I was like, hey, Henry, don't retire. Like, fight me. Like, I have all these texts through on Instagram. And he's serious about it. But will he do it in the UFC? I doubt it. Will Dana allow Sean to come to boxing? I don't think so.
Why are we even entertaining this right now? Sean O'Malley has a whole, like, literally one of the deepest division to even to get through. You have one of the deepest divisions of contenders waiting for you. Why are we entertaining you going here and there and there to fight this guy? How about we beat up a couple of guys in my division first and submit myself as you know, a great in my division? Cement myself first before I'm even entertaining these gimmick fights. I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, with Ryan Garcia, I think the next logical option is definitely running back because, okay, Tank is the next biggest star that's really sitting there that Tank is the biggest star in all of them. But Tank is the next guy, you know, to be able to top what he just did. But if Tank is Tank already did that fight, and if Tank is unavailable, I say you run this fight back when you actually make weight and then you actually get that belt. If Devin Haney does not do the necessary adjustments, you actually get that belt from Haney, and then, you know, you fight Tank or you fight whoever else has a belt in that division. But yeah, I'm not entertaining this fight right now. I think Sean O'Malley is a great champion, and I think is a good champion. And Sean O'Malley has a couple of contenders he needs to get through first and needs to be focused on. But Henry, based on what you just said, I mean, you wanted to fight Ryan. How do you think that fight would have went, Henry? Honest with yourself.
No, of course.
In boxing, how do you think that would have went?
He would have hurt me, bro. He would have hurt me.
How?
Body, left hook. Like, I would have to fight him different.
What round?
I don't want to get too specific like that. Come on, I'm trying to give myself a little credit, but a guy like that that has power is just different, dude. You know, this guy's going to attack the body. If you saw right before he knocked Haney down in the 11th round, he went to the body, boom, and then came up top. I mean, body work with a great boxer with that hand speed and power, it is dangerous. But
I don't think it's
no, he does. Come on,
blinding power. It's not blinding power. It's not blinding, like, boom, you're down. No, I think it's the speed. When you get hit by something that you don't see and you don't know is coming, it's like, yo, what just happened? It's like the Chris Tucker video. Which one of y'all hit me? You know, that's what Ryan Garcia has, because I think it was maybe the third knockdown where it was like an uppercut hook. Devin Haney had no idea the hook was coming. Like, even I was like, yo, what was that? It's the blinding speed that he has that hits you that makes it look like he has power. He has incredible power. But I don't think, I mean, he's got power. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't have power. But it's not like, bing, you're out cold. It's not blinding power. You know, it's his speed mixed with that timing that's making it just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of this
right,
world.
Right, right. No. And I'll agree with you there, but I will say this, Kamaru, is I think he should skip David Haney. Even though Danny has the bout, I think there's a lot of fun matchups for Ryan, and then maybe he comes back, but I think we need a new storyline. I think you could always run it back with David Haney. I think there's Teofimo Lopez. You know, Teofimo Lopez right now, he has all the, he's the undisputed at 140 pounds. Like, he's a guy to beat. I think that's the fight.
But the belt, that the title, they were just fighting for the WBC title at 140, correct?
Yeah, but man, I don't.
But
don't,
so
don't,
so Devin Haney does so Teofimo doesn't have all the belts.
I think it's unified. Can you guys look that up real quick? I think Teofimo Lopez, because he beat that
unified, so he has more than one belt. Because if it's you're unified, if you have more than one belt, correct?
Yeah, he's probably this is what's confusing about boxing. But I think the next logical fight for him. Forget David Haney, man. Go after Teofimo. Teofimo has a belt. And guess what? Teofimo and his dad, they're going to sell the shit out of this fight.
But does it make as much money?
No, though? I disagree, bro. Teofimo Jr., yeah, he's got the WBO junior welterweight. Yeah, so he's a junior welterweight champ. So he's got the...
So is it 135?
No. It's 140. It's...
140 is junior welterweight, yeah, or is that
it's junior welterweight. Junior welterweight's 140, and then welterweight's 147. Okay. But either way, yes, dude, the dude has the belt at 140 pounds. Dude, I tell you what, man. What,
how many belts does he have, Teofimo?
Man, for some reason, I'm thinking that dude won all of them when he beat that other dude.
I think, yeah, but then, okay, no, Teofimo had all the belts when he beat Lomachenko. And then he lost the belts to Kambosa, who Devin Haney went over to Australia and beat up and took the belts from. So,
but that was at 35. But then Teofimo,
that was at 35.
Teofimo went up a weight division, and then he ended up being a Scottish guy. I believe it was a Scottish fighter. And then he ended up becoming the first, I think one of the onlys to unify all the belts, I believe. But either way, he's got the WBO, and I feel like a big massive fight between Teofimo and Ryan Garcia would absolutely be fire, because you know what? It's all about storylines, Kamaru. He's got a belt. He's got a style that I think it could benefit Ryan Garcia very well, because he does like to kind of come in and he does like to stalk that shoulder roll for those hooks, man. If you're not practicing that hook and be able to counter that from Ryan Garcia, I mean, you could be in trouble. But that's what I have. I think that's the option. I don't think he's ready for Tank. I think he needs to maybe fight Tank maybe at a higher division. If anything, maybe at 147. You know, make Tank not put the dehydration clause. Fight him a little bit bigger, because Tank has already talked about going up to 147 pounds. Challenge him for it.
That's crazy.
Feel better, be better. You're bigger, you're taller. Use that size, and this time you take away the hydration clause. So I called it here. I think the next matchup that he has is against Teofimo, and then after that, go after Javante Davis at 147 pounds.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. But did you see my man Oscar pull up? Ooh, the golden boy had the golden joint on.
Yeah, I saw Oscar pulled up in there fresh.
I was like, hey, look at that in true golden boy fashion.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it, Oscar. I like it. Great event. Great event. Looking like the golden boy himself.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
He was in your closet for that one, Henry.
Hey, ooh. No kidding, dude. I'm gonna ask about that gold suit. But that's cool, man. Look at Oscar, dude. Seems like he's really having fun with life now, and I get super stoked and happy, man, to see this dude just being happy, you know.
All right, Henry. The Olympic team trials just happened in wrestling for USA Wrestling. And you were there, right? You went live?
Yeah, I was there live. I was there live, Kamaru. I think Team USA, we have, you know, six people go to the Olympic trials. We have Spencer Lee, who eventually won at 57 kilos, which is 125 pounds. He made the Olympic team, three-time NCAA champ, one of the best collegiate wrestlers of all time. And now he just beat his former teammate, Thomas Gilman. With the rivalry that they've had, because Thomas Gilman, they used to be training partners, they used to train together, and then eventually Thomas Gilman went out with Kel Sanderson, and, you know, he ended up training with Kel and became a world champ and things like that. But, you know, now you got the little young buck, the young hawk, and Spencer Lee was able to get better, you know, went through the whole tournament, dominated throughout the whole tournament, and was able to make the team. And then at 65 kilos, man, we have the Zane train. Zane Rutherford, he ended up, you know, wrestling another teammate of his, which was Nick Lee. And, you know, Zane was just too strong. He was a former world champ. He's a person that actually had to sit out at the trials in order for people to get to him, but he was able to sit out and actually win. So congratulations to Zane. And then obviously at 74 kilos, Kyle Dake, man. Kid Dynamite. Do you know Kyle, Kamaru?
Man. Yeah, I know Kyle a little bit. We you know, spent some time, got to know each other a little bit at the Olympic Training Center. And I mean, just he's just not an opposing looking, like when you see someone like Kyle Dake, he's just such a nice guy, nice kid. He's just not crazy opposing looking, but man, this kid is good. Man, he is good.
Yeah, he looks like Macaulay Culkin. Right, doesn't he?
But now he's got the muscles on him. He's got the muscles on him. I mean, he's just what a phenomenal wrestler. And he's continuing to prove it time and time again. I mean, obviously he made history as the first ever collegiate wrestler to be able to win 4 titles in 4 different divisions. And to go out on the international scene and continue to have the successes that he's had. I mean, he's well on his way to potentially being the best American wrestler ever if he's able to continue the dominance in international competition like he's had.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And talk about 74 kilos, man. At 74 kilos, we had, you know, that weight class was so JB. Stacked. Yeah, Jordan Burroughs, Levi Haynes, obviously Kyle Dake, Mitchell Messenbrick. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Vincenzo Joseph, all former NCAA champions, like in the United States. Like, the deepest weight right now is at 74 kilos, man. And what, you know, I was surprised that Jordan Burroughs didn't retire. You know, he ended up, you know, losing to Jason Nolf in the semis. And, you know, there's a lot going on with Jordan Burroughs, if I could say, Kamaru, because being there live.
Yes, I say it. Talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, being.
Because I have a bone to pick with the fans right now.
Yeah, for sure, bro. You know? It's like, honestly, and I love Penn State. I mean, I was out there for a few days, man. You know, had a chance to kind of break bread with a lot of those people. But the way that they were treating Jordan Burroughs, man, and I like Mitchell Messenbrick. This isn't a knock on him. But he was getting pretty aggressive with Jordan where the referee wasn't really warning him. Like, he was literally getting clubbed like if he was some type of freaking animal. And then eventually when Jordan Burroughs started getting pissed off, you know, he ended up shoving Mitchell Messenbrick's head on the mat. Like, because he's pissed too, because he's like, man, this dude is really, he's really doing a number on me. He just started getting booed by the crowd. I think they probably gave the Messenbrick a point for what Jordan did. I mean, the whole tournament for Jordan, like, he just kept getting booed. Like, people just did not like him. I mean, he was the absolute heel. And I tell you what, you know, typically, you know, the crowd is the crowd, and typically they're right. But in this situation, man, I feel like everybody at Penn State owes Jordan Burroughs an apology, man. I think he's a legend. I think he's a real legend. He's a GOAT. He's one of the GOATs. I think only second to John Smith, but. The dude has done some amazing things for the sport. And it was sad for me, Kamaru. It was sad for me to watch him because he's our generation. You know what I'm saying? He's 05, 06. You know, he's our generation out of high school. So it's almost like he could be like the last of that generation to just say goodbye to the sport. And the same thing with us. Like, we're at the tail end of our careers. But just to see him go out and to lose to another Penn State guy while he loses, people celebrate. You know, saying things to him, even Jordan Burroughs, when he was exiting off of one of his wins or one of his losses, he got into it with the fan. His coach did too. I mean, it's with great power comes great responsibility, Usman. But sometimes that shit ain't fair.
No, it's not, and it goes to just show we've touched on this before. It goes to show how humans are. Like, how can you hate on a man that's out there that's gone to war for the country several times, and not literal war, you know, for those of you literal police out there, that has gone to battle for the country several times and came back victorious multiple times. I honestly think Jordan Burroughs is the greatest American wrestler right now. I think with what he's done, with his records, I mean, world and Olympic champion. Was it 7 times? He has 7 titles? Or does he have 6? He has 7 titles?
I want to say, so he has an Olympic gold medal. And I want to say I think you're right. He either has 6 or 7 world
six, golds. 6 world golds. I mean, right there, you know. And to be treated the way he's treated, he didn't go out. I don't believe he's gone out and said, you know what, Penn State is crappy school. I hate Penn State. I hate their thing. That's just not who he is. But to be treated the way he was treated was ridiculous. It was insane. And when you turn a good kid, like good guy, like not kid, a good man like that into and push him into the position to where now he has to defend himself against fans, defend himself against coaches, defend himself against the crowd. Like that's just wrong. And I agree with you, Henry. I think that whole Penn State, they owe him an apology. And to be honest, I think it starts at the top. It starts at the top because, you know, the general, the commander in general, if he says, hey, we need to cut that out, then everybody should basically fall in line.
What you're saying is Cal Sanderson should come out and say, hey, guys, this isn't Penn State. Like, we are Penn State, but that wasn't Penn State. So you should use what you're telling me, yep. Kamaru, Cal Sanderson needs to come out and pretty much apologize to a guy like Jordan Burroughs and maybe give a public message to all the fans to, respect the legend.
Yeah, I wouldn't say apologize. I wouldn't say apologize. I'd say personally, knowing how good of a guy Cal Sanderson is, that's what I would do. But at least you address that. That was not who we are as Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. Not Penn State, the Nittany Lion Wrestling, that's not who we are. And that right there is not indicative of how we treat our legends and guys and men that go to battle for this country. You know, so I couldn't believe it. And it was, sad to see.
Check it out right here. Like, Ryan's going to play it right now. To check this out right here. Man. Like, this is, we never see Jordan Burroughs like this. We never see him, you know.
Hey, what have you done? Hey, don't break your feet. Hey, don't knock on your feet. Classless.
Have a couple more beers, but dude, that's man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan.
Yeah, of course. You're emotional right there. Like, you're emotional right there. You just went to bat and think of everything that Jordan has put in all of his life to get to the place where he's been Olympic champion, world champion, world champion, world champion. And to go back to where he was almost, okay, should I stop? Should I not stop? And then you go back into training and you put in the time and you put in the hours. And then not to mention, you have a family. You have a wife and 4 or 5 kids that you're still governing and you're still raising. And then to put in the time to prepare for a last run or another run. And then you go out and you fall a little short and then you have them treat you like that. Of course, you know what? I don't want to say I'm a hothead, but I might have squabbled. I'm going to just be honest with you. I might have squabbled.
Well, look at a guy like Armin Sarukian, dude. When they when they grabbed him, he's throwing blows, dude. But
I think
it's also cool, man. I also think that with Jordan, obviously nobody wants to, especially me, man. Like, I felt heartfelt, dude. Like, when he lost, I'm just like, man, my stomach was fucked. My stomach just, like, turned, dude. Because, again, I go back to, you know, this is our generation, bro. This is a legend. And the way that the fans kind of treated him, dude, was a bit, like, super disrespectful. But I think it's also cool on that side. It's like, Jordan, you don't got to be Mr. All-American all the time. I think I'm surprised you didn't cuss. Like, if that was me, Kamaru, you know what I'm saying? I'd be flipping both birdies. I'd be like, well, come down. Come and get some. But that's just me.
I told you what I would have done. I would have squabbled already. I would have squabbled.
But he's not done, Kamaru. I don't believe he's done. I think with a guy really? Like Jordan, he would literally put his shoes on the mat and say retire. But I think it was appropriate that he didn't do it at Penn State because of the rivalry of him him beating David Taylor, him beating Dake, like him beating Mitchell Massenbrick, him beating Vincenzo Joseph, all of them. Like, him retiring at Penn State just wouldn't seem right. I believe he has one more year. I think they have a world championship after the Olympics, like closer to the end of the year. And I think he's going to go 79 kilos and take a crack out of that and become world champion once again. Leave as the best in the world and then officially retire.
I like it. And yeah, you're absolutely right. After the way he was treated, why would I retire there? Why would I give them the honor? Why would I make this the place where I put my shoes down? So I get that, you know, and I completely understand that. But, you know, like what you just said, even beating David Taylor, speaking of David Taylor, where The David Taylor, the arguably the best in the world, can't even get out of his own country. Can't get out of his own country. That goes to show how deep USA wrestling has become.
This is something. This is a problem that's going on right now in Penn State, man. Is the younger guys are the They're younger too deep. Guys now are had the ability to watch and train with some of the older guys. And for that reason, like, yeah. David Taylor is more likely going to have to leave Penn State, because the more that he gets a chance to wrestle around Aaron Brooks, or the more they're able to see David Taylor train, like he needs to figure that stuff out, because he lost Kamaru. Like, he lost two straight matches. It's almost like Aaron Brooks knew exactly what he needed to do in order to beat him. I mean, you're talking about a guy that really studied him. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Aaron Brooks that could potentially have the greatest year in wrestling history, to become a four-time NCAA champ, Olympian, and then Olympic champ. I mean, that'd be absolutely bonkers if he has the ability to even do that. And I feel like Aaron Brooks is on his way to make history and to do something that nobody has ever done, while becoming, you know, a four-time NCAA champ and then winning the Olympics in the same damn year.
Henry, you're absolutely, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that. I'm not an advocate for a guy like, you know, David Taylor to just leave, because that's his team, that's his family, that's where he grew up. But, you know, as far as growing into the wrestler that he is, but Henry, I think you hit the nail on the head, because it's, you have these young guys coming out of high school now. They're in our program, in the Nittany Line, they're in the Penn State program, and they're getting to wrestle the best guys in the world from start. And you're getting to train with them and wrestle them each and every single day. By your fourth year there, you're going to figure them out. And the only comparison that I could draw to this is when I got into high school and I started wrestling, my assistant wrestling coach, John Manns, he was a wrestler. And his father was the head coach at Appalachian State University. He was a good, really good wrestler. And he wrestled with us every day. He beat the dog crap out of us every single day. By sophomore year, I started to kind of understand and start to, you know, feel him out a little bit more. By junior year, I started to kind of hone my own a little bit. By senior year, I could put it on him. So these guys are getting to wrestle these guys so early on that by the time they become seniors, they know the tricks. They know how you're going to roll through. They know you might dive underneath and do this funky roll. They know you might come off to the side and catch my ankle. So they know how to correct those little mistakes to where they're knocking you off, and you might be the best in the world, but you can't even get out of your own country.
But that's what I'm telling you too, Kamaru. Like, a lot of these guys at Penn State, obviously it's almost like, dude, Team USA is pretty much Penn State, but it's also a problem for those that are trying to come up. Like Jason Nove, will he ever beat Caltech, especially if they're in the room? And I heard that they do wrestle a lot. David Taylor, now that he's a little older, and Aaron Brooks is able to get more of that feel, then will he be able to even, you know, beat him? Because he beat him fair and square. I mean, you can go down the line, Chase, you know, Nick Lee versus Zane Rutherford, their training partners. You know, this is an Olympic dream on the line. So I think it's a problem. And I think a lot of these guys are going to have to figure it out, because the last thing you want to do is be in a position where you know that the partner that you have to beat is the guy that's literally 6 feet away from you, that's training right next to you or training with you. But that being said, man, Kyle Dake, he looked really, really good. And his dad just passed away on Sunday, you know, prior to this whole event. So he was dealing with the griefing of his father. And what is it that he was able to do and do in a fashion where he wants to become an Olympic champion? He is a few months away from literally accomplishing that. But do you imagine that, though, Kamaru? Like, you having to deal and grief with the death of your father? I was just there with my sister. Like, I couldn't imagine myself, you know, a week later, not even a week later, like 6 days later, having to wrestle for the Olympic dream. was hard for him.
Yeah, I can't.
He was able to do it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine that. And you know, my heart goes out to him, you know, but he handled it like a true champion, like a true professional. He went out there and still got the job done, you know. So, I mean, Kyle Dake just goes to show how great he is and continues to just add to the legacy that he will have when he walks away from the sport. But Kyle Schneider, once again, makes the team, Olympic champion, makes the team. I mean, and our heavyweight, we've got Mason, was it Mason Paris?
Mason Paris.
Makes it Paris from what, Michigan? Is he from Michigan, right? So, I mean, right now, USA Team USA is deep. I mean, not just right now, in the last two cycles, I think kind of, you know, Bill Zadick era of kind of being there at the top of USA Wrestling and just basically all these guys, all these tremendous and amazing coaches breaking off and creating their RTCs. I mean, we've really seen a shift in the development of talent in our wrestlers. And I'm excited. I am proud of what USA Wrestling is doing. And they are showing you that, you know, once we really focus on, because we did have some down years there quite a few years ago. After you slipped out, Henry, we had some down years. But, you know, they've reinvigorated USA Wrestling and they've got these champions now. And Team USA is the team to beat. I mean, of course, Iran is always up there. They're always doing the thing. Russia's always doing the thing. But right now, Team USA,
yeah, all the way. For sure. Overall, the trials from left to right, like I was literally, my back hurts from just sitting from, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning all the way closer to like midnight. But it was a whole lot of fun. I need a massage. But either way, man, Team USA from Spencer Lee, Zane Rutherford, you know, from Kyle Dake to, you know, to Aaron Brooks, Kyle Schneider, Mason Paris. I mean, it's a great team. And I feel like I personally don't feel like Russia can compete with us. Call me crazy. I think
Team right
USA
now.
This is the most solid team that we have in addition to a younger Aaron most. Brooks who is being coached by Kel Sanderson. You know, he can become Olympic champion. Spencer Lee could become Olympic champion. Kyle Dake could become Olympic champion. And then the rest of them is like they could all medal. You know, Spencer Lee, Dake, and Aaron Brooks, I believe, can become Olympic champions. I think all of Team USA can medal, but I couldn't be any happier, Kamaru. Obviously, we love wrestling. Wrestling has made us. Wrestling is the best foundation that a fighter could have. And I'm just stoked. I'm going to Paris. Get your damn ticket, Kamaru. Let's go to Paris. Let's go watch this shit together.
When is it? What time?
August. The wrestling takes place. Como talez-vous? You're going to work on that French, Kamaru? Como talez-vous?
Oui. Man, before, of course, I will definitely try to get out there. The Olympics are a little crazy, though, but we'll see. But before we go, Henry, let's talk about this video. Let's touch on this video a little bit that Uncle Dana White dropped. Just going to show you, you know, how critics and all these people don't really know what that he goes. No, he just goes to show you again. He's like, I'm the best promoter for a reason. I'm the best promoter for a reason. And here, let me show you the numbers. You know, everybody talked crap about UFC 300. Oh, it's not what we want. It's not what we got it. Blah, blah, blah. This and that. This and that. But the numbers don't lie. And Dana wanted to put us front and center with the numbers. Look at the video.
Let's see it. Let's see.
We were continually told that it's going to knock your socks off. It's going to be amazing.
What did Dana say about this? Right. We're going to blow their socks off. I wanted my jaw to hit the fucking ground.
I did expect a little bit more from the company to blow us away.
Nobody got blown away. Nobody.
I'm just blown away. Hit them.
I think Dana was doing this.
Voila, voila.
Dana is like, Yeah, I don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all stick to sitting on the couch talking while I stick to making these amazing fights. And yep, Dana definitely 10-7 the media.
Yeah, for sure, man. He really did deliver. I mean, UFC 300, but what really made UFC 300 was Holloway and Gaethje, man. That crazy knockout. But either way, I mean, obviously this is why Dana's the greatest promoter of all time. So I think if anybody can promote, whether it's boxing or anything in combat sports, it's Dana.
Yeah, man, you're right. And, you know, moving on, obviously, there's quite a few different fights coming up. Obviously, the Masvidal versus Nate Diaz fight's coming up. And, of course, Jake Paul is stating that he wants to do MMA and he wants to do it against Jorge Masvidal. Or
I'm being so serious when I say that I want to fight them in MMA. Either Masvidal or Diaz in the PFL, $10 million offer.
Which is, honestly, at this point, I don't even know what to think anymore. I just watched Ryan Garcia go out there and beat Devin Haney. I've watched Jake Paul beat some guys, and I don't know what to. Nate Diaz is about to box Jorge Masvidal. The world is upside down. I don't know. Maybe Jake can potentially, if he gets through Tyson, maybe he can fight MMA. I don't know, Henry. What do you think? The world is upside down right now.
Not really, man. I mean, look at Ryan. He lost. He got knocked out by Tank Davis. I mean, Jake Paul lost to Tommy Fumbles, but he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jake Paul, he's offering $10 million offer to Jorge Masvidal. Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. I want either one of those guys in MMA. I mean, dude, that $10 million. He's doing something right, Kamaru. We continue to keep talking about him. He's fighting legends like Mike Tyson, Anderson Silva. Yeah, they're not in their prime, but he's an entertainer. He's been able to cash in, and he's making a whole lot of money. So I personally like it. I think. You know, these guys, we gotta remember that these guys are from Ohio, and they did wrestle all 4 years in high school. I mean, with the hands and whatnot. I mean, obviously, I think you know, these guys know what they're doing. You know, I at this point, Kamaru, call me crazy, but I wouldn't count Jake. I wouldn't count him out, man. I really wouldn't in mixed martial arts if he has the hands and has the wrestling base already. He just has to touch up and tune in. And he just has to touch, you know, a lot of that wrestling stuff up a little bit. I understand the distance a little bit different and have the ability to maybe take some kicks if he fights George. But that $10 million, you offer me that much, I'm taking the damn fight.
I mean, I think he definitely needs to polish a little bit more than just the wrestling and taking kicks. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into MMA, the intricacies of submission, grappling, the intricacies of cage work, getting up off, using the cage to get up and defend. And there's a lot that goes into it, but you're not far-fetched, you know, like I don't completely say it's a wash that he has no chance in there. Everybody has a chance. And like I said, the world is upside down for me right now with all these fights that are taking place, with all these matchups that are taking place. So it's not far-fetched. You know, it could happen potentially, but we'll see. We'll see. I think there's a better chance of that happening with Nate Diaz than Jorge Masvidal, because I think Jorge can still compete very, very at a very high level. So I don't know about that one happening.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I think either one of them is going to end up taking the fight. So I think, dude, that's $10 million, bro. Who cares about the outcome? Like, you're getting paid.
You're right. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's see how he does with Mike Tyson first. Let's see how he does. But, you know, a lot of this, I mean, goes back to just Oscar and this fight, Ryan Garcia, what he was able to do this weekend. Just, you know, Oscar, he said, you know, when we talked to him, Oscar said, hey, you know, the kid is not crazy. You know, the kid has said that, hey, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to hurt this guy. And he means it. And he meant it. Oscar said that when we sat down with him. He said, this kid said he's going to go in and hurt this guy. And he meant it. And I've never seen that look in his eyes before. And I believe him. And so look at that. Voila. So for those of you who haven't seen it, y'all better go to YouTube right now for Pound for Pound. Make sure you subscribe, but go check out the interview with the great Oscar De La Hoya, and you will hear all the amazing things that he said about Ryan. You know, it was a question mark on my mind. It was a question mark on your minds. It was a question mark. Henry, I know it was a question on your mind, so don't sit here and try to take all the credit and say you knew he was going to do this. Don't do it. Don't you do it right now.
Sure. Well, that's awesome, dude. I mean, obviously, you guys make sure to tune in. For those who are watching it now, I mean, the Oscar De La Hoya interview was absolutely fires. And obviously, you know, we got your Uncle Shaq coming out next Thursday, and we're able to sit down with him.
Big Diesel.
Shaq Diesel. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff coming up, Kamaru. And, you know, I'm glad you're my partner in crime with this show of Pound for Pound. And take it away, my brother.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, guys, you know, make sure you like, you subscribe. Next week, we've got, of course, Uncle Shaq, the legendary Shaq Diesel, going to be on the show for Pound for Pound. So, guys, it's another episode of Pound for Pound. I'm the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are out.